Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With us, as always, is Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a special guest in studio. Somebody in this room is a published author. Not me. Not it. Not
no,
it.
Not here. Not here.
Her name is Jennifer Carmichael, a.k.a. Jenny Valentine, a.k.a. June O'Leary. And she doesn't have a website, but that we know of. Well, you got a MySpace.
Yes, I have MySpace, www.myspace.jennifer the pixie, all one word.
Wouldn't that be myspace.com/JenniferThePixie? I mean, I just want the kids to be able to find you.
I don't know. You're confusing me. I've only been on here for a few seconds.
That's right. And already I'm throwing the hard questions your way. And with us also is Jennifer's husband, Justin Carmichael from EmeraldHierophant.blogspot.com.
Hi, everybody.
And he's here. We're here to talk about Jennifer's book. And Justin was the photographer on he took the cover picture. Also in the room, I don't know if we're going to... if they're going to be able to offer great insights, my sister Heather way across the room.
Hello.
And my dad, Jess Knight.
I was a pixie once.
But you were young and you needed the money. But anyway, Jennifer's book is called...
And I read a book once.
Yeah, Pocket Prayers, and the under the nom de plume June O'Leary. And it's a book of poetry. Since none of us except for you are published authors, first off, when did you first start to have an interest in poetry?
High school. I originally wanted to be a novelist, but I tried to write my first novel freshman year of high school, and I did it. I wrote it shorthand in a spiral notebook. But then when I reread it, it was like Stephen King is told by an 8-year-old. So I was just horribly depressed. And, you know, what better time in your life to be depressed about your future and your talent than
then when you have
high
it all
school.
Laid out in front of you.
Yeah. So I started just writing poetry, not even intentionally, just on scraps of paper during classes when teachers were boring me. You know, it happens. And in between classes, and I started keeping the scraps of paper, stuck them under my bed at home. Senior year, started wondering, how many of these do I actually have? So I dug them all out, and I had like 40 poems, so I started writing them down nice and neat into a velvet notebook.
She still does that.
Yeah, sexy velvet.
Wow, geez, yeah, that is something. So what you're saying is your poetry is fueled by depression and boredom.
Initially, yes.
Initially, okay. Yeah. Everything's got to have like the initial gasoline thrown on the fire, and yours was depression. And right. I guess that's probably where the best poetry comes from. But tell us a little bit about the process of actually getting published.
Oh, God, that took a long time. I was in college the first time I attempted it. I tried to find some poetry anthologies that looked like it was what I'd been writing, and I wrote to the editors, and I gotta tell you, the only thing worse than a rejection letter is no letter whatsoever. So I, you know, I moved on with my life. I kept writing, and then it was January 2005. I made my New Year's resolution. Okay, that's it. I'm getting published. So I started typing everything up. You know, I'd been handwriting more than 1,000 poems, so I selected about 100, started typing them up, made a manuscript, was looking all over at bookstores, online, in magazines, on the internet. I know I said internet and online twice. You can quit laughing over there. And nobody wanted any poetry. The submission guidelines always said absolutely no poetry. Even, you know, publishers that got their start publishing Kerouac and Ginsberg and, you know, the Beatniks, the whole, you know, new revolution type of thing, none of them want to see any of it. So I was really desperate. I was told, well, what you've got to do is you've start getting published for free and not be paid for it in like small magazines and eventually make a name for yourself. And I'm like, screw that. I'm getting
that kind
a book.
Of time.
I've worked very hard here. I want a book. I've got enough for a book. Come on. So finally I found an online publisher called Publish America, www.publishamerica.com.
Shameless plug.
Well, no, actually I want to give them credit because, you know, even says in the back of my book, they're cool because they're the only ones who would accept it. And they published, I got a whole dollar advance. I didn't have to pay for it, any of it. It was not a vanity publisher.
Yeah, I was about that. That was the next question I was going to ask. Is this just something that suddenly you've published yourself? And obviously the answer to that would be no. And I also have to say that if pure indignance can fuel success. I'm going to try that myself. If just saying, God damn it, I'm going to be successful.
Yeah.
Then I think that's just that's a lesson for the kids out there.
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed, just get really pissed off.
Yeah. And it took nearly a year, but yeah. I got my New Year's resolution.
Nice.
Yeah, and
it's available through Amazon too, right?
Yep. Amazon. It's probably not on the bookshelves of like the local Barnes and Noble or Borders, but you can special order it from them. So I suggest you go by the pen name of June O'Leary. Because there's like a dozen spiritual books for pocket prayers. It's kind of a misnomer.
So you also didn't do any like Googling of the title before you named it Pocket Prayers? Or did you actually name the book?
I actually named the book. Okay. I originally wanted to call it Confidants because I was thinking, okay, this is what it started out as in high school, expression of some of my fears. Confidants would be a cool name, but the publisher said, we're already publishing a book with that title. Can you change it? So I took the title from one of the poems and made it Pocket Prayers. And to me, it's just, in a way, they're prayers. Every poem that I write, it's something just, I grab a scrap of paper, I write something down, and
she's always, always, always writing.
Yeah.
Just constantly.
That's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the only way to succeed, too, is to always work at it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll be sitting down watching TV, she'll be writing. She were watching a movie, she's writing. I mean, it's constant. But, hey, she's a published author now.
And
she's got a barcode.
And she's got carpal tunnel at this point in her career. Now, do you still write everything longhand before you put it, you type it up?
Yes, that's how I keep track. I'm on my seventh book, and I think we just counted it's what, officially 1,200 poems that I've done now.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of writing. Now, you across the room, Heather, you like to write the longhand or whatever that is in books, but you have never made yourself a New Year's resolution to succeed. But are you inspired at all by Jennifer's success just through pure indignance?
Not indignance. I think it's very cool that she got
No, that's what I mean. I mean, and, it's I just, mean, I wouldn't... God damn it, I'm going to succeed. And she did, and so this should be an inspiration to somebody like you.
Well, I'd actually have to finish writing something first.
So you, oh, I see. So you've
see,
got the.
I'm not good at poetry, so you know.
Well, but it doesn't have
I
to
actually,
be poetry.
Like, I have these stories, and they're just notebooks, and they're like half finished, and then I get bored and I stop. Mm.
You got the night curse, is what you
yes,
got.
Yes, yes.
The night curse is twofold: procrastination on one hand, and the inability to finish anything you start on the other.
Yes.
Although, if that were the case, this podcast's over. We're done. I've lost interest. Although that's kind of like Colin. We're going to get off on a real quick tangent here. Poor Colin suffers from this inability to rehearse. If he cannot, he would never be able to do anything on stage unless it was off the top of his head because he says it once and then to him it's old news. It's like, oh, that's not funny anymore. I've heard it.
Now you're just telling stories.
Now I am just, but it's true. But
Colin
back, but
Colin
back
mockery.
To the book, Pocket Prayers. Why don't you hold the book up for everybody in podcast land so they can see the cover? And since you can't actually see the cover, it's got a shot of somebody's back pocket and a little tiny book and a hand and a pencil. And Justin Carmichael, you took the picture.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that, Jennifer, you posed for the picture.
Mm-hmm.
That is my wife's took us.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, butt shot sells poetry books is another lesson that the kids can take away from this. Now,
well, and that was her idea, too.
Yeah.
They had said, oh, yeah, we want a picture of you, we want a write-up, a short write-up, and then we want a picture for the cover. And Jennifer said, oh, I know exactly what I want. So we went out into the backyard. I chose a good lighting area and took about two or three. I whipped it up on the IBM, as it were, since we didn't have the Mac at that time, but I just popped it out. And
this is the ultimate in-house project.
Yes,
this is like, okay, we're going to do the cover shoot now. Let's go out in the backyard.
The funny thing is that they used the exact same font. I mean, I sent a picture, sent the words of what the font was, and then I made this cover, and they chose this cover. So it's exact same
thing. So this is almost as much your book as it is hers.
Yeah, I mean...
With the exception of she did all the work.
My graphic design did not fail me in this.
I designed the cover.
Yeah,
I can see
the cover, but I,
so don't
know,
give me that.
The font up there.
Don't
you
give me that crap.
Stop taking credit. Dan.
Stop taking credit. This is not your book.
But no, this was all Jen's. She's been talking about this, and gosh, I wasn't sure what we were going to do because there were a couple of times that she would just come home exasperated and just beside herself. I'm never going to find anything, and then she found the resolve, and she found a great publisher, and sure enough.
Well, I would say though that there's probably a lot of people out there that have taken a lot longer than just, you know, 1 year to get published. So this is really, in my opinion, a success story. You've got a book that's not just something that you had done. It's available to the masses. You know, everybody. Now, conceivably, billions of people could be reading the poetry of June O'Leary.
Mm-hmm.
And I
hope they like it.
Yeah. And you were discussing the pen name. Are you not satisfied with June O'Leary?
No, not anymore. My maiden name was Beaudet, and in high school, when I started conceiving the idea of being a published poet, I thought, okay, I've got to use a pen name because no one's going to be able to remember how to spell Beaudet.
Before we go any further, are you related to Tom Beaudet of Motel 6 fame?
That's a long story.
So the answer is yes, and we'll move on.
Possibly.
So okay.
The interesting thing is that my dad's name is Tom Beaudet. No joke.
So
is my grandfather. So well, which Tom Beaudet am I related to? You know, it all depends.
Well, I imagine as maybe Beaudet maybe isn't the most common name, but Tom is pretty common. So
yeah,
and not every Tom's a Beaudet, but a lot of Beaudets are Toms. Yes. So anyway, back to your maiden name being Beaudet and nobody being able to remember that, and you choosing June O'Leary. What grade in high school?
Probably junior year.
Okay.
And I was just talking to my Irish grandmother about the families we're related to, and she said we're related to the Hurons, the Mahonies, and the O'Learys, and I thought, oh, O'Leary's nice, and it's kind of catchy, and with poetry, you got to take every advantage you possibly can.
And her cow burned down Chicago.
Yeah. Not my grandmother. She's from Minnesota. It burned down Twin Peaks.
Okay.
But, and then as far as the June, you know, in high school, I started getting really self-conscious. I mean, imagine that. And
depression, boredom.
Yeah. And I started getting annoyed that people always called me Jenny and Jen instead of Jennifer. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to shorten my pen name down when I get published, and I'll be June O'Leary. You know, I'll keep the J and never mind the rest. And so that was the dream, the high school teenage dream, is I'll be a published poet someday, and I'll be June O'Leary.
And so to stay true to yourself, true to the vow that you made as a slightly younger person, you published a book under the name June O'Leary, and now, if there's a sequel, what's your pen name?
Jenny Valentine.
Jenny Valentine, which sounds so 1940s, just like detective novel heroine. That's slightly less, slightly less old lady-ish than June O'Leary.
Yeah, and you think of shawls when you think of
It's like some old lady with like tea and cookies. Yeah, and then Jenny Valentine. You know,
she walked in. Yeah, dame.
That's right,
Jenny Valentine.
That Jenny Valentine dame. She walked in with a book of poetry under her arm.
It was up to there.
But I didn't come up with Jenny Valentine until after the book was published. Here's the thing: is I was talking to my mother, and I'd always known that I was born a couple weeks early. And just surprised everybody. But what I didn't realize...
Hey, there's a baby in the corner.
Yeah! Oh, my gosh!
Anybody drop something?
I thought I was feeling lighter.
Anybody not pregnant right now? Anybody?
Who's the least pregnant in the room? Okay. Okay, so you were born early.
Yeah, so I was born January 27th. Well, then I suddenly realized I could have been born on Valentine's Day. Damn, I could have been Jenny Valentine.
Jenny on Valentine. But you're now born 2 days after my sister.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Cool. Aquarius.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Now, since you've got your book, Old Poetry, in front of you, and it is available to the masses on Amazon.com. Kids, it's called Pocket Prayers. It's by June O'Leary, and we're about to hear, for the first time ever on this podcast, some poetry read by the author.
This is one called, it's just a funny one. They mostly don't have titles. I just had to make them up for the book. But here we go. You thought you were so much better than me, but I got news for you. You were wrong. You know why? Because the video store at the corner just got the latest independent British film, and I rented it first. So when you go to the video store at the corner and try to rent the latest independent British film and find they're all out, I want you to know that I'll be watching the latest independent British film and eating popcorn. I know you'll be upset. I know you won't be able to sleep because you won't stop thinking about me and the latest independent British film. You'll get up at 2 a.m. to use the potty because you can't sleep. Then you'll use the last squares of toilet paper off the roll and won't replace it. So when you get up in the morning and you go to use the potty, you'll have to look under the sink. Then you'll realize you're all out. In which case, I want you to know that not only did I get to see the latest independent British film and you didn't, but I bought a whole new pack of toilet paper the day before. I want you to think about that all day when you're at work, so that you can't concentrate. Sometimes I'll be in my office at work and I can't concentrate either. That's when I put on a CD and hum along to lovely Irish music. It helps me refocus, you know? Wait a second. You don't know, do you? You don't have a CD player at your work. In fact, you're still flipping burgers at the drive-thru. Well, I want you to know that I have my own office with a CD player and two windows. Mm-hmm. Now, I bet you're wondering why I'm enjoying this. Rest assured, I am enjoying this. But it's not because you were popular in high school and I wasn't. Not because your dad bought you a car when you turned 16 and I had to ride the bus. Not because you wouldn't let me into your group. Not even because you stole my boyfriend and went to the prom with him while I stayed home and cried. I'm doing this because you went out of your way to make my life shit, and now I get to return the favor. By the way, my new boyfriend bought me some gifts from Louisiana. Isn't he sweet? Of course, you haven't had a decent boyfriend since you stole mine. But all I want you to know is that not only did I get to see the latest independent British film, and not only do I have a wonderful boyfriend who spoils me, my own office with two windows, a CD player, and lots of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. But now I also have a voodoo doll with your name on it. Have a nice day.
Wow, that really is fueled by depression. You got no toilet paper? You flip burgers? You suck so bad, and I am so much better than you. I'm going to go buy a burger just to let you know.
But I'm not bitter.
That's right. Not bitter at all.
Not bitter. No, none at all.
Not bitter and really enjoying life. Yeah. So that was good.
That's one of my humorous poems. I didn't figure I'd write one of the sad poems for.
So now here's a question, because poetry means so many different things to so many different people. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that and a blog entry? What makes that poetry and not just a story?
That is a very good question. I would say it depends on the reader or the listener, you know.
So poetry and comedy are pretty much art forms defined not by the author or the performer, but by the recipient.
I think that the best that the author can do is the level of effort they do in the prose. Because, you know, a lot of authors, let's say Neil Gaiman or Caitlin Kiernan, they both write novels, but the flow behind their words, it's almost poetic at times. And so there's a very prose way to where they write. So, yes, it does become very interesting when you have someone like Virginia Woolf or James Joyce, where the lines between is it a story or is it a poetry really do become blurred. And I like that. And that's some of the poetry that I like the best.
So poetry that rhymes.
Yeah,
limericks.
We had to rhyme.
Yeah, is that what's your opinion of that?
I like that, but I got to tell you, for me, it's one of the hardest ones to do because, yeah. I mean,
because I think that's probably what, if you said poetry to somebody, mm-hmm. their first thought would likely be just lines that rhymed, just mm-hmm. a set of lines that rhyme. Like you pick up a greeting card and it's got a nice little rhyming poetry. And I'm pretty sure that the masses would think, okay, this book is full of rhymes. And that's probably not. Is any of your, what is In Pocket Prayers, rhyming poetry?
Yes, I use all types. I have a stream of consciousness and rhyming and prose and haiku.
I was about to say, do you have haiku?
Yes.
I want to hear some haiku.
99 bottles of beer, haiku.
Good one, honey. Because I'm not sure you get any credit for originality, though.
Well, okay, though. Yeah.
But I think he had the syllables in the right.
He got some Shatner points, I think, way he said it.
Yeah, his delivery. His delivery was dramatic.
99 bottles of beer.
Of beer.
On the wall.
Yeah. I mean, we all learned how to do haiku, I think, in elementary school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems. What are you doing?
What the fuck is haiku?
Well, since that's you know,
Japanese.
Yeah. Since that is the stupidest question I have ever heard, I'm going to let Justin answer.
Did you know?
Haiku is a poem of five syllables, followed by seven syllables, followed by five syllables.
And you know, anytime
it doesn't have to rhyme.
Anytime I'm writing haiku, you see me over in the corner clapping out the syllables in my head because I am so stupid. I have to clap out the syllables.
Good haiku usually takes two items, and I learned this in my in one of my Japanese classes that you take two ideas that are completely opposite of each other, and you make them kind of fit. So it's very poetic. Yeah, exactly. So, moving on.
So why don't you give us, hit us with yet more poetry?
Okay.
And we'll clap like the beatniks did.
Yeah,
shorter.
The
one I like.
Which one that you liked? It's hard to get one that Justin likes because he always thinks, I'll post something on my website and he'll say, I'm sorry. And it's like, you didn't do anything.
You know, he is the most critical bastard I've ever run across, though, isn't he?
She's got so many ideas and I look at them and I'm like, wow, she has something like that. Well, didn't she ask me that the other week? Oh, my God, I'm a horrible husband. She's writing poetry about me. I'm horrible. Sorry. the one with the that's only like the three lines that made the one lady at my work cry.
Wow, that's all
it takes. It's more than three lines. It takes a little bit more. The one, I think I know which one.
But yeah, if it made somebody cry, I want to hear.
Oh yeah, soon as we got these two, because they sent us two books, as soon as we got them, she opened them up. She put one on the coffee table, went into the library, and came back bookless. And I said, "Well, what happened?" She's like, "I put it on the shelf." That's so cool. Well, I took the other one to work, and I showed people because they were very excited. Oh wow, you've got a wife who's actually published.
Yeah. Probably made a lot of them jealous, but I think that's the point.
Oh, yeah. So I'm handing it around, and one lady, she's looking at it, and she says, can I read a couple of these? You know, I'm like, yeah, take your time. She comes back in 15 minutes. She's like, oh, my God, I cried. I was crying with this one. Yes, that one, yeah. Okay. And this is the poem.
Okay.
Cry.
This is actually one that I wrote in high school. Very Emily Dickinson influenced, of course. I awoke and saw death racing through the sky. And as I stared into his cold, empty eye, I knew that it were my blood he'd come to thirst, when God appeared beside me and said, take me first. You're not snapping your fingers.
That was very cool. Yeah.
Isn't it you know, groovy
the,
poem?
Well, you know, the
that's
only,
my favorite. Me of that
I love that one.
The only problem I have with that poem is as soon as I heard death racing across the sky, I actually pictured the Grim Reaper just tearing like a bat out of hell.
You're supposed to.
Grim Reaper.
Unfortunately, that made me laugh. I'm sorry. I'm not crying. I was just like, go, Reaper, go.
But, Derek, I didn't think of that. I thought of that light your mother and I seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was coming to take my grandfather away. Yes, I know. Yeah.
Oh, that's so, that sounds like a story.
So if you think about that, that is very sad.
Yeah.
And we covered that on one of the big Halloween episodes. Mm-hmm. But why don't you, since I assume you haven't heard the story?
No, I haven't. I was going to say, fill me in.
My grandfather passed away in March, and he knew he was going to be dying, and my grandmother knew he was going to be dying, but we didn't. And we had gone up to Denver. He was up at my aunt and uncle's house, and we went up to, you know, hang out, and we played some cards. And on the way home, you, Dad, Mom and Dad,
right.
You saw a light streak over the car heading back up towards Denver.
Right.
And Dad looked at Mom and said, "You've just seen your first UFO." Then they get home and get the phone call that my grandfather just passed away.
Oh, wow.
So that light was on its way to take my grandfather Harold away.
Mm.
So I guess that poem could mean that. Oh. And so fine, go ahead and make me cry.
It's interesting because I don't really dig too much poetry. You know, like being married to a poet, it's very, very difficult. She's, "Oh, Justin, I wrote this new poem." And she reads it, and I'm like, is that supposed to mean something?
Wow.
So it's very, very tough because I don't appreciate poems. But, you know.
You're telling me.
But then she comes up with some real gems that you read, and, you know, certain poems that she writes can actually mean lots of different things. So I've kind of taken a little thing. So what you're saying is
different people. Every now and then she even makes somebody who doesn't appreciate poetry appreciate poetry.
Oh, and I think that this book has a large majority of them. I mean, because I actually really like this book.
Yeah.
And I hate poetry.
That's the funny thing. I mean, usually you just say, "I really like this book because my wife wrote it."
Yeah,
but you're being so painfully objective. You know, I really hate poetry, and my wife wrote a poetry book, and I figured I'd hate it.
Yes,
but I like it.
I thought it maybe like four or five of them. I mean, but no, I really like them.
Wow. So how do you handle backhanded praise like that?
Well, I've had that all my life.
No, again, which fuels the poetry.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. I love my parents, but you know that non-committal encouragement. "Hey, Mom, I just wrote something." "Oh, that's so nice, dear. You'll have to show me some more some other time." And then she never asks to see it, and it's like, okay.
You might just have to sit them down, tape their eyes open, and say, "Read my goddamn book."
Yeah.
In fact, that might work with the general public. We'll try
that.
I don't know.
I don't want to be remembered with something that's associated with, well, you know, Clockwork Orange type of tactics.
I don't know. Whatever
you
works.
Changing your name for the next book, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So everyone will think, that goddamn June O'Leary, never reading her stuff again. Ooh, Jenny Valentine. She sounds nice.
Yeah.
She's not the kind of person that would, she's not the kind of person that would come to my house and waterboard me. And I think that's actually what they're doing in Gitmo. They've got they've bought like several copies of Pocket Prayers, and they're forcing these people to read them, and they're all crying.
I don't want to go anymore on this suiciding bombs. I am a changed man.
I tell you where he is.
Yeah, I tell you everything. Jonah Lady disarms me.
Well, anything I can do to help get our boys out of Iraq, the sooner the better.
That's right, Juno Leary Patriot. That's what that's what this show is all about. We have time for a couple. Why don't you hit us with a couple more of the poems there, so the kids will be encouraged and inspired to buy the book on Amazon called Pocket Prayers by Juno Leary. Big book of poetry, and we've got the author right here in front of us on the Big Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Okay, let's see. There's no future in dance. Art is dying in all its aspects. The thing is, they polluted it by trying to make a buck off it. One day we'll all wake up and go to work in suits. It's not a bad thing. It's evolution. But we can't evolve anymore. I mean, physically. Mentally we could, if we used our imaginations. We could save ourselves then. But the alchemists discredited themselves with their poison mercury fumes. So their genius insights are gone, and science is the new religion. That sounds like a cute catchphrase, don't it? But it's true. They even have organized churches. So the arts are dying, and our potential fades. One day God will wipe us out and start again. He's done it before, quite a few times. Maybe next time it'll be perfect, and they'll be meek, the ones who inherit the earth. But we'll still be here, all of us as ghosts. We'll entertain them, be their television, tell them our stories of what we did, what we were. And they won't understand, but they'll smile like angels, the perfect ones.
Mm. I like how that poem was all things to all people, because you mentioned God, ghosts, and evolution in the same poem. Mm-hmm. And so I think atheist Christians and like paranormal people would be all over that poem.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
something for everybody in that one poem.
And that's what I try to do. I'm trying to reach out across to everyone.
That's yeah. right. Pull them all. It's, yeah. And now gone from Juno Leary Patriot to Juno Leary All Things to All People, bringing the nations of the world together through poetry.
Yes. Yeah.
Potpourri poetry.
Can you dig it?
You need to say it in a deeper voice, sweetie.
Can you dig it?
Yeah.
The Warriors. You remember the Warriors?
Yes.
Right?
Sorry, I didn't
Warriors.
See the
Warriors.
No, I mean,
never come seen out, the Warriors.
Yeah, play. I've seen just about every possible clip from the movie without having watched
without actually
the film.
Having seen the watch the film.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the Matrix 2, right?
No, I stopped at 1.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't even.
Because I was going to say the exact same scene was in there. Mm. It was, wasn't it, sweetie?
Can you dig it?
Oh, yeah. When you're standing on the bluff, we were just expecting him to say, can you dig it? We think it got edited <That's> out. Right. Yeah.
It's in the rushes. It's in
yeah.
the
rushes. Ooh, an uncomfortable silence.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to close it out with another poem.
Oh, okay. All right.
Happy one.
This one your dad read. Let's see. She used to light up her cigarettes like it was some spiritual event. And maybe for her it was. She always said she had smoke in her soul, her life a never-ending braid, 3 strands of pain, love, and madness, reflected in the triptych I made. Now, if the ones we love never really leave us, then I suppose she isn't gone at all. She's here, inside of me, a little puff of smoke in my soul.
Isn't that cool?
Wow, that is a good cool. one. Yeah, let's give it a little snappy.
I would also like to point out that in spite of the name Pocket Prayers, it's not a pocket-sized book either.
No.
Yeah, the only pocket in Pocket Prayers is the one on the front cover.
Yeah.
So it'll fit
88 pages.
Listening.
Yeah, so it's 88 pages, so it's not like an itty-bitty, tiny.
Of course,
no.
Perhaps somebody like Haystacks Calhoun would have a pocket large enough to carry this book around. But this has been a fun episode. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With us, as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Take care, everyone.
Our special guest today, Jennifer Valentine /Juno Leary/Jennifer Carmichael, who's got a big book out called Pocket Prayers. You can pick it up at Amazon. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Her husband, Justin Carmichael, who took the photo from the front cover.
Hiya. Yeah.
My sister, Heather Knight, who had some to say.
Hi.
And my dad, Jess Knight, who wanted to know what haiku was.
Haiku.
Thanks for joining us on the Big Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. We'll be back again next Wednesday.